The Reading area hit national headlines recently with a sequence of events that began with a man losing his hand in an explosion and ended with the burning down of the man's mobile home by authorities. Explosive-packed mobile home, we hasten to add. Not your typical sequence of events. The Shasta County Sheriff's Office took to calling this the Chaparral Incident. It took place on Chaparral Drive near Reading. Sergeant John Green is with the Shasta County Sheriff's Office as a public information officer and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Sergeant Green, thanks for joining us.
You bet. Good morning.
Would you give us an idea where this all took place?
Yeah, it was about 3 or 4 miles east of the Reading city limits off of Placer Road, for those who are familiar with the area.
And this really went on for the better part of 2 weeks. So how did this develop? What was the first call that involved the sheriff's office?
Well, the initial call came in as a on February 6th at about 4:10 p.m. The sheriff's office, along with Shasta County Fire and Cal Fire, responded to a 911 call at 9021 Chaparral Drive. The initial call was of an explosion, and that there was smoke coming from the house. Upon the arrival of officers and firefighters, they contacted an individual named D. Ray East, 64 years, and he had injured his hand, and he was then transported to the local hospital. While they were on scene, the responders obtained information about the incident from Mr. East, and they also discovered explosives and explosive precursor materials in and around the home.
And so was there much chance to interview Mr. East at the scene?
At the scene, no. They rushed him to the hospital due to his injuries. Subsequently, they attempted to interview him a couple of times. At one point in time, he retained an attorney, so he was unable to be interviewed for several days.
So at some point, though, either directly or through the attorney, was he able to provide you with some sense of what the materials were on his property?
He did. Initially, the sheriff's bomb squad and other allied agencies went in the residence. Those agencies included the Federal Bureau of Investigation bomb technicians, as with our bomb technicians as well, and they had sort of an idea of what was in the residence at the time, but they couldn't get far enough in there to actually see every room in that house and what exactly was in there due to the volatile nature of the chemicals that had mixed together during the explosion.
So the explosion itself caused some things to collide. In other words, they were not actually stored that way at first, but the explosion messed some things up.
Correct. It was it basically distributed these precursor materials together throughout the residence, and from what the bomb technicians indicated, that the slightest friction, stepping on, moving, touching, could cause a reaction and a subsequent explosion.
We're talking even things like scuffing your feet too much and making a static shock, that
yes.
sort of thing? Really? Okay.
Yes.
What kinds of materials are we talking about here, then, and what was Mr. East indicating his use of them was?
He indicated that he was making rocket fuel. When I say rocket fuel, some type of a mixture to propel a large-scale model rocket, more than just like the children's rockets, where you insert the small little cartridge with the fuel in it and then ignite it electronically. He stated through his attorney he was doing that on a large scale.
I guess you hand this off to the district attorney's office, but is there any sense among the folks from the sheriff's office and the other agencies that are working on this case whether that's a believable explanation?
There were no indications of any model rocket parts or anything of that nature in that residence. So as far as his motivation and what he was actually trying to make at the time, we really don't know.
And are the chemicals that were discovered, we get that you couldn't get that far into the house once you realized what the situation was, are the chemicals consistent with the kinds of things used to make model rockets? My memory of model rockets is they tend to be solid engines.
Correct. Yes. No, these were all loose chemicals, precursor chemicals. As far as the actual list and specific chemicals, I don't know that. I know there was put out there was some mercury fulminate. There were other chemicals and precursor explosives in there. But as far as the actual list of what they were, I don't have that information. I do know that, Mr. East did, through his attorney, provide us with an interview and a semi-complete list of what he knew was in the residence. Our initial bomb technicians estimated 40 pounds plus of these chemicals and precursors. Upon talking to Mr. East with his attorney, our bomb technicians, it confirmed their expertise and what they had thought, but on a grander scale, there were 60-plus pounds of these explosives and explosive materials in that residence.
So we're talking 50% more than what he thought was out there.
Yes.
That's a lot of stuff. We were talking to Sergeant John Green at the Shasta County Sheriff's Office on the Jefferson Exchange about the Chaparral incident, which was the discovery of a bunch of explosives in a mobile home on Chaparral Drive outside the Redding city limits, leading to the destruction, ultimately, of the mobile home. So once you realize this really is not a place you can safely investigate, what was the set of decisions from there about how far back to pull back and what to do about neighbors, et cetera?
The decision was made that evening to evacuate within a 1,000-foot radius of that residence, which we immediately started to do and got the residents out within that 1,000-foot radius. As the sheriff declared a local state of emergency and figured out how to deal with this incident.
At what point did the Board of Supervisors get involved?
Almost immediately. There were meetings with the Emergency Management Council, which includes various department heads from different agencies in the county, including public health, environmental health, our Board of Supervisors, the county administrative officer, and the sheriff's office, our Office of Emergency Services as well. So they were, that was on Friday, the day after, I believe it was the 7th, at around 4 o'clock, they met and started to discuss the issue and the legal ramifications of what we may need to do.
Which brings up the question, I mean, is there any particular precedent? Is there a book of incidents like this in the past in Shasta County that you could have used to go by?
Not in Shasta County, but our sheriff did reach out to the sheriff of San Diego County. They had a similar incident back in, I believe, 2010 in Escondido, where they dealt with almost the identical issue on a smaller scale. There were about seven or eight pounds of this. These type of precursor chemicals, and I believe it's HMDT. I don't know what that exactly stands for, but it's a very volatile explosive. So they collaborated with San Diego County to see what steps they went through. I believe their incident took 28 days, give or take a day or two, and we were able to safely render our incident done in, I think it was 12 days.
It was shorter, certainly, about half that time.
Yes.
Ultimately, Sergeant Green, how many homes were evacuated?
We had approximately 60 homes were evacuated. As far as the number of people who did not wish to leave, I don't have that number. But the initial evacuation of the 1,000-foot area was about 25 homes. When that expanded to the 2,000-foot radius when we were preparing for the incineration, that expanded 2,000 feet radius, and I believe it was around 60 homes.
Was there much flack from the neighbors about being asked to leave? And as you point out, some clearly didn't.
Yes, some clearly didn't. Some stayed in. As we encounter when we have the wildfires and we have to evacuate, some people are headstrong and will not evacuate their home, which that's their prerogative. We can't force somebody out of their home. We strongly recommend it and tell them, you know, here's what the potential is for this incident, and you need to leave. But as far as from neighbors, there were three residents within, I believe one was about 57 feet from the East home, and then there was another one about 150 feet away. Those residents were obviously concerned about their property, the damage, But it was an inconvenience on them, completely understandable. But we got nothing but praise after everything was done, that we handled it the way we did.
So at what point did the, and I know you'd mentioned that Sheriff Pasenko consulted his counterpart in San Diego County, so at what point did incineration appear to be the way to go, and then how carefully did you have to draw up the plans to make this happen?
It was again, a collaborative effort between the FBI. We brought in other bomb technicians from other surrounding counties, from Butte County, from Siskiyou County, and they made their plan on how to incinerate the home. The planning stage was very intricate and took them several days, if not a week or so, to finalize and begin to implement.
And so how was it done?
As far as specifically, I know the home was loaded with combustible fuels, wood, foam, that type of material. As far as how they sparked off the incineration, I don't know the technical term or what type of tools they used to do that.
Well, it was done remotely, I understand. Nobody actually had to light a fuse and run or anything like that.
Correct. It was all done remotely with several fail safes and a lot of testing prior to the actual incident.
All right. So given the lack of knowledge then, though, you couldn't get into the home because of the explosives there or the potential for explosives mm-hmm. going off. How could you be sure that what started as this incineration didn't turn into something a whole lot bigger?
Well, that was also a lot of consultation with FBI bomb technicians in Washington, D.C., the actual chemists who know these chemicals, who work with these chemicals, who train their bomb technicians with these chemicals. And the safest way to render it safe or neutralize it was incineration. A really hot fire to consume those chemicals. There were five large-scale explosions during the incineration and about 15 lesser explosions as well.
So that, I mean, have you had a chance to get out of the property now and see that, in fact, everything was consumed?
That was part of the process. The fire burned for approximately 45 minutes to an hour. Then there was the cool-down period. The rest of the afternoon, the next morning, the bomb technicians went back out and used their robot to remove some of the parts of the mobile home that was burned, and they were able to sift through the remains the following day and render the site safe and confirm that everything had been consumed, everything of any type of volatility.
And so what happened to the neighbors? You mentioned one neighbor's house about 57 feet away. Was that place okay?
Absolutely. In fact, they did it with such precision that the only thing that was consumed was the mobile home. Mr. East had an outbuilding or a shed-type garage around 30 feet away from the residence, which was unharmed. He had two or three vehicles in the driveway, which were 20 to 30 feet from the home, which were spared. There was no damage to them, as well as the neighbors' houses. There was absolutely no damage at all to any, no collateral damage at all.
So about Mr. East himself, has he been arrested? Has he been charged?
That is the district attorney's office is working with our investigators. I believe they have, and it came out in our in a press release several days ago that he has pled no contest to a misdemeanor count of making explosives. What that entails as far as punitively him doing jail time or fines or anything of that nature, I don't have any information on that.
And what about his home? Is that I can't imagine it's covered by insurance at this point.
That I wouldn't know. I couldn't speculate on that.
All right. Well, it certainly worked out ultimately for the best, for the sense that the neighbors were left unharmed, and so were lots of other things. Any environmental damage that the California environmental folks were able to track?
No. The main issue with incinerating the residence was making sure the wind or the weather conditions were perfect. We were really fortunate. The night before, we had a heavy storm, which soaked the surrounding area, soaked the ground, all the foliage and the trees, and then the skies cleared the next day. There was very little wind. We had systems set up. I think there were 9 weather stations and wind monitoring stations set around the incident area, and they brought in the California Army National Guard. I believe it's a 95th Civil Support Team out of Hayward, who came up and did the what they call plume modeling, several days prior, given worst-case scenario, if the wind is in a certain direction or a certain speed, where this smoke of these toxic chemicals would go. And it went, best-case scenario, it dissipated. There was no cloud cover. It went almost exactly how they modeled the best-case scenario.
Wow, a real learning experience, and one I'm sure you wish you'd never had.
Absolutely. It was a long haul, but our main goal was to render the site safe and get everybody else back in their homes as soon as possible, as we do realize what an inconvenience it was to the area residents.
All right. Sergeant John Green, a public information officer with the Shasta County Sheriff's Office, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You're welcome. Thank you.